It's Mail It In Friday.
I'm cold and sick. I don't work in the rain.
Boy, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around putting it in the boxes.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. It is going to be a beautiful weekend in the city. Man, there's a lot going on. The Invictus Games launching tomorrow. You can catch all of that on CTV and TSN. And they're setting up the ACC for the opening ceremonies and the closing ceremonies. So that's why the Leafs are playing at the Ricoh Center tonight. The Argos are in town tomorrow at BMO. TFC's playing down in New England tomorrow afternoon. You've got NFL action, CFL action. The Jays with their final three games at the Rogers Center this season with the Yankees in town. I know tomorrow and Sunday's games are sold out. I wouldn't be surprised if tonight was sold out too.
Yep.
A lot of Yankee fans will be kicking around. It's a beautiful night for a ball game. You can't ask for anything better than this in late September. And more than likely, the final three games for Jose Bautista as a Blue Jay. I'm not sure we've really embraced what he means to the city, what he means to the team. I think sometimes he's got to leave, he's got to be out of here for a couple of years before we really look back and say, wow, this guy was a big, big part of what's happened here for the past decade.
He's one of the best players in franchise history.
No question.
He'll have his name in the Ring of Honor, won't he?
Or the ring, what is it? The level of excellence, no question. That's an absolute lock. But the way he's performed.
That's the end of it. It's...
No, I know, but he's performed poorly this year. He's been awful, and the team's been bad. So it's just put a different spin on the going away tour, is my point. I think in two or three years, we'll really look back. He'll come back for the first time or whatever, and we'll be like, man, this dude did some big, big things for Toronto.
But maybe it's just me. Do you, like, I never, like, wrapped my hands around Bautista. Like, maybe it's his personality. Like, there's a distance I kind of feel with him. I don't know if anybody else feels that.
Well, Jonas, you have
that.
To understand, that's not with his teammates or his friends, it's with media, and there's a completely different relationship.
It's how he interacts with umpires. Like, all that stuff just, like, over time slowly kind of chipped away at me where I'm just like, eh. Like, Edwin Encarnacion, like, I could get behind, like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, he never said anything. Likeable. He didn't talk, so he was likable based on simply what he did
parrot.
On the field.
He used an interpreter. How was he likable to you?
The parrot, his person, I don't know. He just
he stuck his arm up, rounding the bases. That's not likable.
I don't think it was likable. It was that he didn't do anything to piss you off.
Yes.
He didn't do anything
say, like,
to...
that guy might be a jerk.
Yes, and let's be honest.
That's exactly it.
Bautista has never felt overly fan-friendly. He's not
always
the...
a chip on his shoulder the whole time.
Right. He's had an attitude.
That's how he had a career. So.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't dispute that. He is not Mr. Fan Friendly. He's not the guy where you're like, wow, he seems like a guy you want to go for beers with or something like that. But ultimately, what really matters is what you do on the field to play. And
sure.
Bautista's an all-time great Blue Jays. So we'll touch on that later in the afternoon. Again, the Leafs back in action tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN 4. You've been kicking around camp and kicking around the team, and I found this interesting because earlier in the week we were talking about Travis Dermott, and Dermott's going to play tonight, and it feels as if Riley Hainsey, Gardner Zaitsev, Carrick are going to be in Winnipeg opening night. Those five, the dispute and the battle is who is going to be the sixth defenseman for opening night. And I think Dermott's got a really good shot at making it, but the more and more I read and hear from people that are like around the rink every day, seems like the Swedish kids are getting more love, and even Martin Marinson has an inside track on Travis Dermott. Do you get that sense?
Pardon me? Martin Marinson?
Based on what I'm reading and what I'm hearing.
The other night.
I'm telling you, dude. I'm telling you.
I think it's a few things. Like, you just try to read between the tea leaves. Rosen, for example, all throughout camp, I think he's been paired with Carrick. We think Carrick's going to be on the team. So we infer that Mike Babcock is looking at Rosen as that guy. You look at Dermott, he's played most of camp, I believe, with Liljegren. Liljegren's not going to be on the team. And you read into like what Babcock has said. He's been very complimentary of Dermott, but he's also been really complimentary of Rosen and Borgman. And you just kind of try to piece everything together. You look at Rosen's age. He's, I believe, 24. Dermott's, I think, just 20. Like, there's just all these things that would factor in. And Marinchen, you don't have to do anything with. Like, you're not going to take a rookie to sit him as the seventh defenseman. Marincin, you can just have as your seventh defenseman, right? Like, he can just be there in case. So
I think that's more than likely what's going to happen.
So right now, like, if I was guessing, I would say Rosen would make the team and the other guys would go down.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, see knows? That? And I get that impression. That's all I'm saying. I'm not predicting one way or another. But
well, it's on Travis Dermott to just force himself into the lineup and just say, you know, you like me the first game, you're going to like me. Is he playing tonight?
Yeah, he's playing tonight.
I got a story about him
Who is
on
he
Monday.
Playing with tonight?
Jonas just sent this to us. Who is he playing with?
Borgman.
He's playing with Borgman. So a guy he's competing
great
with.
Great name, by the way.
To make the team. Borgman? Yeah, it is a great name. It's like a Bond villain.
Yeah, or like it reminds me of Bueller for some reason.
All right, let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's happening, Ray?
Just playing a little soccer in the backyard with my son, who just hammered a ball into the neighbor's yard. And I was going to climb the fence and go get it. Did you guys ever used to do that? Like when you'd play? Oh, like in your backyard, like shoot pucks off the, hit the goalpost, go hit the neighbor's car, stuff like that?
You know what? Our neighbor's garage was such a piece of crap where it was not even a factor. And we were all pretty good players, so it was in the twine. We had a big setup in the backyard.
So Riley's now trying to hit this top right corner, and he hits it a lot, but now he just launched one in. I think it rolled all the way to the next guy's pool, and so he's got to go dig it out of there. So he'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, it's always awkward. I hated that. Like, I would put, you know, balls over the fence, and you'd have to walk around and go get it, and you try to sneak back there, and every once in a while you go back and they're like eating dinner and they catch you and you're like,
mine had a dog and that was always kind of
we live next door. There are four boys in our family. We live next door to this guy. He was a jackass. He really was. The ball would go in the yard, he'd just keep it. He'd put him in a bucket in his garage
just to be that guy,
like in The Sandlot. Yeah. Did you ever see that movie?
No, I didn't. No, I did not see the movie. Was the guy doing that, collecting them?
Forget it.
Yeah. So he just took the balls from us, and then finally one day we're like, Dad, we got no ball. They're all in the neighbor's yard. So Dad walked up there, knocked on the door, and he's like, hey, give the kids the balls back. So now we don't even talk to the guy. Turns out the guy plays at the golf course in Trail where we grew up. He was the slowest bloody player. Everybody hated him at the course because he was like a cork at the front of the course.
Brutal.
Terrible neighbor.
Yeah, that's the worst. And you can't really choose your neighbor. You like the house, you buy the house, and then you realize who the neighbor is afterwards.
And I mean, it's not like we were out here having parties. We were 10 years old. There's like the ball went in your yard. Throw it over the fence. Who
right.
cares?
Relax. Yeah, I know. Everyone's got those stories. My really good friend, my best friend growing up, he had a basketball net in his backyard, and he had a family beside him that had like the grandmother living with them. And whenever the ball would go in their yard, she'd freak. You could hear her in the house yelling. And it was terrifying. And sometimes she'd come out, and we'd run in the house. We'd be 8, 9 years old. This woman would just, she still haunts my nightmares. Probably died 20 years ago. But
yeah, I wouldn't think she's a factor right now for you.
No, I doubt it. We were talking about the Leafs and this final spot on the defense corps. Jonas has been kicking around camp and kicking around practices, and he's trying to get a read on things. And you believe Rosen's got the inside track as of now, but I guess it's always difficult to know. But if you're Travis Dermott, and this is how we got the conversation going, is that I've liked Dermott. I think he's looked pretty good in what I've seen. I'm assuming, Ray, as a player, Dermott's probably reading the same tea leaves, right?
Oh, I think so, but he's also... where some people, like most of us, will say, well, it does him no good to sit around as the seventh defenseman. You know, if he's not playing every night, then why would you keep him? And, he's thinking, well, I'd rather be in the NHL than in the American League. You know, like the difference of where the player thinks he is and the management thinks he is, and it might not even be player-related. You know, they may think he's in a different spot because of contracts, because of age, because of development. And the player only thinks, I want to be in the NHL. I don't really care about anything else. It's of no interest to him to, you know, when somebody says, oh, yeah, but you'll develop more because you're playing more. He's like, yeah, great. I don't care. I want to be in the NHL.
What do you think a player has to do for Mike Babcock? He said in training camps past, he might be good in the first exhibition game, he might be good in the fifth one, maybe the eighth one, but I need him to be good in December, and I need him to be good for the rest of the year. So for a young player like Dermott to convince management and Babcock, is it just play out of his mind for the next 10 days, or what does he have to do?
Well, he does, and it really kind of sucks that, you know, I feel, you know, back when... You know, we were coming up because contracts were not the level they are now and they weren't the factor they are now. If you outplayed a veteran, you probably had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now you're like the financial realities are that, you know, you might be the better player and bad break. You're going to go down anyway because we're not going to put an asset on waivers and lose it for nothing. We're not going to have this guy who can play pretty well, and we know he can play well. We're not going to have him just sitting here because he's going to have to play his way out of a job. But it all comes back, I guess, to where they really think the kid is, because they want, in most cases, to put their best team out there, right? But in some spots, they may see something that, okay, this kid has played really well. But we see there's a lot of warts still in his game, and we want him to play more. And he's not going to play more here. And, you know, in Vancouver, they're talking a lot about Jake Virtanen, who's had a really good camp. He was, you know, he went right in front of William Nylander, which I'm sure if they wanted to redo that draft, they would flip that draft over, you know, and do it differently. But Virtanen had a terrible last year. They kept him as an 18-year-old, which was a mistake. As a 19-year-old, it was a train wreck. He went to the American League. He didn't play very well, didn't score, didn't handle the puck in the NHL the 10 or 15 games he was there. And now he's had an excellent camp. And so they're talking in the, you know, on the radio here, should they keep him? And my answer is, yeah, and this is why it's different for every player, is that a player that's supposed to be or supposed to have the puck a little bit or a lot, he needs to be in a place where he's going to have the puck a lot. He's going to score some goals, because any kid, if you keep them and they stay till December and they got two goals, they're going to feel like a loser because they haven't scored. They've scored two goals in a half a year. Like, you got to put them in a place to let them grow and to let them continue to grow both as a player and their confidence and their self-belief. Playing as a seventh defenseman is not the place to have real great belief in your abilities, because you're never in the lineup. You practice, somebody gets hurt, you get to go in. Somebody gets sick, you get to go in. They come back, and then you come right back out again. It's a tough thing to do.
Leafs are playing the Sabres tonight. Jack Eichel was talking about the relationship between these two teams, and he said, we don't like them, they don't like us. But in reality, it wasn't much of a rivalry last year. It hasn't been much of a rivalry for a long time, because neither team has been very good. So it just hasn't mattered that much. But when you look at the three teams that are closest to the Leafs in terms of geography and the most history between the two fan bases, Buffalo, Ottawa, and Montreal, of those three, assuming the Leafs stay consistent and keep growing and become a very good team, of Buffalo, Ottawa, Montreal, which one do you think has the best chance of getting to that level and kind of sustaining it over the next 4 or 5 years?
I think Ottawa is better than people think, but only if they have Erik Karlsson and a healthy Erik Karlsson, and then he re-signs with them. Otherwise, they're just, you know, they just fall off the table without him. Buffalo's closest in age, and I think that probably sets up the best. Montreal will always be the historical one. But I would say Buffalo probably has the chance to be as fierce as anything, because Eichel and Matthews are virtually the same age. They're going to be stars for a long, long time. Where's Eichel going to go? I don't think anybody really knows yet. People have this, you know, roadmap for what they think Matthews might be, but I think there is still some question or some curiosity about Eichel. And I think Eichel's a hell of a player, too.
Why hasn't he signed?
Pardon me?
Why do you think he hasn't signed? It's kind of weird to me.
I would say probably a little bit of a disagreement money-wise more than term. So if you're Eichel, you're looking at the guys jumping their bridge contracts, and you know he's looking at 7 or 8 years, like the other young guys are going to look at. And I would suspect there's probably some, look at what Jonathan Drouin signed for, and he's nowhere as established as Jack Eichel.
What about McDavid?
In my mind.
What about Draisaitl?
Yeah.
Well,
no
Draisaitl, is actually the comparison, really, for me, because
who's better?
McDavid's on a different planet. That doesn't even count.
Well, there's also, you got to remember, Draisaitl, his deal was up. He needed a new deal. Eichel still got another year left on his deal.
Wouldn't it make sense just to play it out then?
Well, it does if you want to bet on yourself. It does, and then you hope you don't get hurt. There's risk to playing it out, which is why players will always love to sign an extension in the last year of their contract.
But is there a risk for those guys, Ray? Like, those are the top guys. Like, if he gets hurt,
what happens if he shreds his knee?
Yeah,
and
I guess
in the last year of his contract, and then he's out the rest of the year, and then they've got to sign him to an extension next year, in July.
You sign a short-term deal.
Well, yeah, now he's got to sign a short-term deal.
Yeah, I see your point.
So there's always risk. It's how much you can stomach. Like, how much do you think you can live with? Now, I'm any of these guys, certainly at that level, when they get into the last year of their contract, they're insuring themselves for any future loss, for sure. They have injury insurance, as most players do, but they would jack it up to the potential of earning, $70 million.
Yeah, the premiums they would be paying would be outrageous.
Right, and they would stomach that because they'd say, when I do get through this year healthy, when I do have a good year, when I do sign an 8-year extension, whatever these premiums are, I won't even.
Yeah, it's like hedging
their bets.
It's
going to be a drop in the proverbial bucket.
Yeah, exactly. They're hedging their bets essentially. Speaking of injuries and guys who would have to bounce back from it, Steven Stamkos will make his preseason debut tonight. And I think he's a guy that will be a focal point all year in terms of just where his game is at, because it doesn't feel like he's been healthy for like 4 or 5 years.
Right. It's two years in a row, really, right? With major, major injuries and surgeries, and it's tough to bounce back. I know he's he's always been an incredibly conditioned athlete, but man, it's hard. It's hard to get back. It's hard. Once you get back, it still takes time for you to return to your previous self, as close as you can get to. Now, Tampa, I think, they're as good as anybody in the East. And when I say that, that's a large part of that is with Stamkos back.
Mm-hmm.
And, is he and Kucherov, are they able to play together, and are they able to lead a team? Are Point and Johnson going to play together and give them really good support underneath? Tampa's hinge or success doesn't hinge on Stamkos, but they can't be the same contender without him near the top of his game.
When you refer to Tampa Bay as good as anybody, you almost have to follow it with on paper.
Right.
There's so many moving parts.
With Stamkos being one of them, how is their defense going to be? Is Sergachev ready to play superior minutes? Because they need him to.
You think he's definitely on the team?
I can't believe he won't be. I think he's really good, Jonas.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a treasure water young guy on defense.
Like game changer?
I think he is. He's like what Charlie McAvoy did last year for Boston when he came in, even though it was very short sample, but it was in the playoffs. I think McAvoy is an impact player already, and I think Sergachev is too. I thought those three guys at the World Juniors, McAvoy, Sergachev, and Thomas Chabot, almost looked like they didn't belong in the tournament. Like they were upwards of 27, 28, 30 minutes a night. They were dominant players. I like all three of those guys a lot.
Well, we're getting closer and closer. I mean, this weekend's a big weekend for guys trying to crack the lineup, and for vets, it's about staying healthy and get to October 4th, where the real dance begins.
Oh, God. When you get down into this last week, or which they're not at yet, but when you're an older guy, you're like, oh, I can hardly wait to just, like, get into my position, get into what a regular practice looks like, no more split practices and all that stuff. You can almost taste the finish line. That's what they're looking at, and all the kids are not sleeping. Now,
exactly.
All the young guys, they're not sleeping. They're in, like, man, I wonder what's going to happen. How many games am I going to play? How have I been doing? How's that guy been doing? And, you know, the focus has to be narrow for those young guys, but it's really tough.
Should be a fun weekend. Enjoy it. We'll do it again Monday at 5 p.m.
Talk to you Monday, guys.
All right, there's Ray Ferraro joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are now on with 0% financing and lease rates on the Corolla and RAV4. Visit mapletoyota.ca. We stumbled across a new bit last week, the five-pack Friday. And we're going to bring that back this afternoon. And we're going to each list five players in the NHL that we're going to be focused on. Five guys to track this year. So listen for that in the 6 p.m. hour. Steve Phillips will join us later in the 6 p.m. hour. Marcellus Wiley later in this hour. I mean, are the Rams the real deal? Do they have something here with Jared Goff and Todd Gurley? How about Sammy Watkins going off last night?
Our buddy.
Our boy, Sammy Watkins. How Buffalo Bills would that be for them to move up in the draft, draft Sammy Watkins over Odell Beckham Jr., over Mike Evans, I believe.
Wasn't Beast Mode a Buffalo Bill?
Yeah, he was. First-round pick, too. And they moved on from him. They traded him because they took the running back out of Clemson.
Spiller?
Spiller.
C.J. Spiller?
C.J. Spiller. Like, it's just so Billsy, and now they've moved on from Watkins and watch him become the superstar they thought he could be now, but with the Rams. It's very Billsy. And Marcellus Wiley, a former Bill, we'll see what he has to say about that. That's coming up at 5:40. Marcellus Wiley will join us in about 15 minutes. He's down in L.A., home of both the Rams and the Chargers. I saw Don Banks, longtime NFL insider. He was reporting yesterday that there are some rumors kicking around the NFL that the league is going to try and push Chargers owner Dean Spanos to pull a 180 and bring them back to San Diego, which I don't see happening. That has lawsuit written all over it if they ever tried to enforce it. I don't know how San Diego would feel about that, though.
Well, a lot of times in business decisions, sometimes you have to admit you've made a garbage one and just fix it at all costs.
They're making that decision 2 weeks into the season.
Do you see it getting any better?
I don't know.
I don't think it was ever going to work. Everyone you talked to out of L.A. for years said no one wants the NFL there. They don't care about the NFL. It's a Lakers town, a Dodgers town. It's a USC college town. And now they got two teams. And the Chargers have no chance. Like, the Rams, maybe they grow into something. Maybe. There's a history. They were the L.A. Rams before they went back to St. Louis. But the Chargers, I just don't see it. But how would you react if that was your team? If you were in San Diego and they ripped your heart out and said they're leaving, and then a year later, not even a year later, they said they're coming back.
Dude, you know what fans are like. They'd be like, ah, don't even think about it. And then when they came back, they'd be like, all right, fine.
Yeah, I think I'd jump back on the bandwagon.
Yes.
Let's just be honest. I think I know I would.
Yeah.
And it would be so sickening because, you know, they'd come back and they'd jack ticket prices because they'd be like, you got to get in on the Chargers coming back.
They would find a way to screw you over.
Oh, totally. The fans would get screwed over again. Suckers. We're all suckers. We're all suckers. It's just a reality.
Do you think it's just like a miscalculation on the NFL's part that we'll just come wherever we want and people will come? Like, they came here, and I think what happened, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the prices were insane.
Ridiculous. It was embarrassing the way
that SkyDome isn't a great place to watch a game anyway.
No, and it's not your own team. It was terrible. The Bills were brutal. This is not a Bills city. It's not a Bills town. It's an NFL town. I know Packers fans, Cowboy fans, Chargers fans, Eagles fans, there are a lot of Bills fans, no question about that, but it's not as if 90% of NFL fans in Toronto are Bills fans. It's really spread out. So they were going uphill right from the hop.
Okay, well, I hate to do this, but because it's like typical sports radio in Toronto, but if there was a second team here, hockey team, do you think there would be any chance that it wouldn't? Like, they would have, like, this L.A. problem where, like, it's a Leaf town, and, like, there might be trouble attracting fans, or do you think it would just be
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think what you would attract is a lot of non-Leaf fans would jump on board with the second team. So maybe fans that grew up as Sabre fans or Habs fans or Oilers fans or Bruins fans, they might jump on board with the second team. You've got a growing marketplace here. I think it would work.
You just have NHL hockey. Every visiting team, people would be like, it's our chance now to possibly get in and watch a game. I don't know.
I think it would work. It would. I don't know if you could guarantee like huge success, and maybe that's part of the concern. But I think, there's three teams in the greater New York area.
Mm-hmm.
If the Devils have existed this long and the Islanders...
They haven't done that well.
But they've still existed. They've existed to the point where someone always wants to own it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can sell it and they get new rinks and they have at least a big enough fan base to make it where you can look at the books and they're like, okay, we're going to keep existing. If that's the case, I believe the second team in Toronto would work. Absolutely. But there may be some shyness applied because of what's happened in L.A.
What do you think will happen in Vegas? Do you think there's like any possibility of that happening in Vegas, or do you think they'll get people right away?
What, an NFL team?
No, the NHL team.
The NHL team, it sounds like they're doing okay. Like, they sold some tickets and they've created some buzz. I think the fact that they got there first was imperative. It was huge. If the NFL got there first, I think that would have really hurt them. If the NBA was there, they'd be toast. I'm not sure they could go. But they're the first pro sports team in Vegas. I think I get the impression like people down there really take pride in that. It sounds like they're going to be okay.
Year two and three is going to be a big indicator where the novelty is worn off.
And they suck.
And they still suck. And we'll see.
Did you see Bodog came out with their odds for like the conference favorites to win the conference and favorites to win the division? And they had Vancouver and Arizona lower than Vegas in the odds to win the West.
Wow.
I don't buy that. Like, I know people think this Vegas team is going to be good. I like Marc-Andre Fleury a lot.
Look at the forwards.
I don't think people think
they're
going to be
brutal.
Good. I just think people think they're not going to be that bad.
What's that bad, I guess, then?
Well, better than any team, I guess, is a success story.
Will they be better than Colorado last year? Probably. Maybe?
No. It's tough to be worse than Colorado.
That was like 48
year.
Points.
That was like historically horrendous. Colorado was historically awful.
Trying to be good.
Yeah, and they thought they were going to be okay. But Vegas is going to be brutal. Like, you look at their forwards, they are going to be terrible. They're hoping that they can put a structure together. They can win some 1-0 games, 2-1 games. Marc-Andre Fleury is like up for the Vezina at the end of the year. But it's asking a lot out of him too, man. I mean, he's a really good goalie, but he was sheltered behind maybe the best team in the league for the past decade. Jay's back in action tonight. Marcellus Wiley will join us in about 10 minutes. This homestand, they went over 3 million fans in the Rogers Center this year, which is really impressive. I mean, we don't talk a lot about how many fans show up to different Toronto sporting events, but obviously this is a lot of carryover from the previous two seasons, for sure. And I think the past 2 years, over time, will feel like the Maple Leaf equivalent of the 92, 93, 93, 94 run, where that came out of nowhere and they went to the conference finals and people talked about it forever. I feel like the past 2 years, if the Jays can't get it back on the rails, we'll have the same nostalgic feel to it as we go on. You know, in 5, 10, 15 years, we will revere the 2015 and 2016 Jays in a similar fashion to the way we still look back on the 93, 94 Leafs. But 3 million people have showed up for a team that's been awful in terms of the standings all year. I mean, they started 2-11. They were effectively out of it April 15th.
They really created a culture there. I think Steve Simmons was on the station at some point, and he said, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's like the place to be. Never mind go to bars if you're single and young and It's a fun place to go. It's not old people with scorecards out there keeping track of who's doing what. It's the place to be.
But now the question becomes, can they continue it if they keep losing?
Is it still the place to be and have fun and be cool with a Jays jersey on when they suck?
Right.
Or if they suck?
With 74 wins, is it 35,000 people every night?
Yeah.
That is
it was
the
a whole
question.
Lot of fun going down there when they were crushing homers, winning games, going to the playoffs, bat flips.
Mm-hmm.
But when all that is extracted from the situation, is it still a ton of fun?
That's the debate. And
how
I think,
about that word I just pulled?
A ton of fun.
Extracted.
I liked a ton of fun.
I like extracted.
Yeah, extracted
pretty
is
good.
Very good.
You have been reading books.
No, I'm just smart, Jonas.
the perfect word, man. You really brought it. But
I told you, it's the seat. I'm telling you right now, Hayes, on Monday, I'm sitting there.
You can sit over there. That's
fine. Yeah, Noodles is here, and I'm going over there.
But you don't have control of your mic if you're over there.
That could be a major issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just going to be this empty chair here.
What about if I went on the other side of you?
Well, there's no mic over there. I'm not moving. You can talk to Noodles.
Dude.
Noodles,
he'll
never
moving.
Give you that seat.
No, I'm not even asking.
Never, ever in a million years. He's got seniority over you. He was here first.
Yeah, he will just, you
he
know
owns
what
that
he'll
seat.
Do.
Yeah, don't even breach that conversation.
It's not happening. But I got to think, I can't sit where Jonas is anymore. Jonas, you admit it blows there.
Yeah, because you're in the middle. I have to keep looking at you, and then I got to look at you.
Man.
I don't disagree. It's a bad setup. I hate it.
Well,
I've sat there when I've been in with other shows, and I come in, I'm in the
it's
middle.
Garbage.
Hot garbage. Not a good spot to be. So, all right, maybe we'll set you up over there on Monday.
Or I go back to the O desk.
That's out of the cards.
Why?
That doesn't work. Because it's too weird over there. It's too different. It's too far away. I don't trust you over there.
Why?
I need you within striking distance where I can snap you out of a haze.
I don't know what you don't trust. You think I'll just doze off over there?
Yeah.
Brazzers comes out over there?
Yes, I expect you to get up to no good if you sit at the O desk.
Having the time of his life.
That's my concern.
You think I'll go that quarterback? What's his name?
Who?
Joe.
Oh, Joe Pisarczyk?
Yeah.
From yesterday?
The Joe Pisarczyk theorem. You're dead.
Joe Pisarczyk. Are you familiar with Joe Pisarczyk,
no.
Jonas?
Pythagorean theorem?
Yeah, you got to get that down. You seem like the kind of guy that would be a fan of the Pythagorean theorem.
3.14, or is that
0.314, I believe.
Wow, dude.
You're on fire.
Yes! Who are you today? Who is this guy? You are on a different level of intelligence.
I'm telling you.
I need you in that seat more often. This guy is bringing it. Wow, I got to go to break.
Yeah.
I can't even believe what I just witnessed.
Yeah.
Marcellus Wiley will join us. We'll get his take on the idea of the Chargers leaving
LA. No, that
was
pie I just said.
Who cares? It sounded right.
It
worked, and it was a good call. Who just told you that you got it wrong?
I just thought about it. I'm like, that was the pie, I think.
That is pie.
Yeah.
But still, it's the same. It works.
It was the same thing, and I liked it.
It's impressive, okay?
Yes.
Chargers, could they go back to L.A.? Goff and Gurley and Watkins, is that good enough for the Rams to be a playoff team this year? What do you expect out of Eli this weekend? That more with Marcellus Wiley next. All right, so I guess we have to point out that pie is 3.14.
That's 0.14.
I thought you were on to something there. I think you get an A for effort because you're on the ball.
It sounded good.
It sounded correct, and that's ultimately all that matters.
What kind of grades did you get in school, Jonas?
I did pretty well in everything but, surprisingly, math.
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, when you were doing, like, English and writing and stuff, you would be, like, better than your prof?
No, not that good. I'm not, like, not a genius or... Like those kids who go on 60 Minutes and, you know those kids who can, like, play piano? They just listen to it once, like a
savant? Yeah, they drive me nuts, those kids.
What was your Tinder game like in college?
They didn't have that.
Well,
how old do you think I am?
I don't know. What was your game
15?
Like? Did you have good game?
Well, I'm all right.
All right.
Is that the answer you were looking for?
I was looking for that.
You good?
Like that. Respect
right.
it.
We've got Marcellus Wiley on the line from ESPN. Longtime NFLer. What's happening, Marcellus?
Oh, just hope you don't pose that same question to me. How was my game in college?
Well, what was it like? Was it respectable, I would imagine?
Oh, man, I felt like the Patriots 07. I won every game except the big one. So it felt good. A lot of fun being at Columbia's campus when you're actually NFL bound, which is a rarity around those parts. But I walked out unscathed. It was fun, though. Had a lot of good times.
Yeah, New York, man. That's true. Like, it's tough to be a big shooter in Manhattan when you're on a college football team. Right.
Oh, man, I never left campus because all my leverage left once I left campus because you can't afford anything outside those borders, and it's a big city for a reason. So I just stayed in my small confines and enjoyed my life.
We were just talking about the Chargers, and there's a rumor kind of floating around, Brian, about them possibly, or the idea maybe going back to San Diego. Is that not crazy? And what do you think the response from all angles would be on that?
Yeah, I don't think that's real, at least right now, because obviously they're still playing in the Arena Stadium. They're playing in a soccer stadium. They haven't sold it out yet, preseason games or their first home game. But they do play the Kansas City Chiefs, who are undefeated in most people's power ranking polls, the number one team. So that might bring out the people in droves. But you don't make this decision. You don't even speculate about this move until you move into the stadium with the Rams, which is going to happen in 2020. Once you're in that mega stadium and it's a spectacle and the event is to be there every single Sunday, you check the bottom line, wins and losses in terms of attendance, and then you make that decision. But I think it's getting exaggerated, NFL attendance right now. People need to put this in proper perspective. The NFL wants you to go to games, but they don't need you to go to games because the numbers pale in comparison to the TV contract. If you go to every game, let's give them 10 games, the 8 regular season and the 2 preseason games, they can make up to $95 million if we say every person is like $150 per person in cost. They signed a $27 billion TV contract. So if you sit at home and say, oh, the games are too expensive, the owners are still getting paid tenfold if you sit at home and watch it on TV. So I don't think fan attendance is the biggest issue.
You mentioned the Rams, and that was an entertaining game last night. Now they're at 2-1, and you got to give it up to Jared Goff and Todd Gurley. Even Sammy Watkins had himself a big night last night. Are you starting to buy what the Rams are selling here?
Yeah, that Buffalo receiving corps is doing better as Rams.
No
kidding. Looking good. Yeah, you see him, Robert Woods. I'm not buying it yet. I certainly have put my hand in my pocket. I got my wallet out, but the credit card is still in the wallet because they beat the 49ers and they beat the Colts. Outside of the Jets, those may be the 3 worst teams in the NFL. Respect to what they're doing, they're a better team. The Rams certainly have progressed from last year. But last year, this team was 3-1. This team was under Jeff Fisher, not as exciting, but they were 3-1. This year, they're 2-1 and much more exciting, putting up 40-plus points in 2 of the 3 efforts. So respect to what they're doing, but are they a playoff team? I don't think so. I think they fall short of that. But are they a better team heading towards something special with all this young talent? Absolutely.
How Billsy would that be if Watkins finally meets the expectations, but it's not in Buffalo?
Oh, man, how many times we've seen that happen? It is what it is in terms of the timing. Unfortunate for the Buffalo Bills fans because it wasn't his effort. It wasn't his talent. It was the fact that he just couldn't stay healthy. When healthy, everyone knew that this was a franchise wide receiver, and maybe he has figured that out, and that part of his game has been renewed out here in Los Angeles. They took a lot of good steps and efforts to make sure that he was comfortable, and physically they took care of him. So they've even sat down with podiatrists and figured out a better technology for his shoe, his insoles, for his foot issues, and really tried to build this player back up from the ground up. So their effort is there to support him because they want to see that talent. And last night, we got a good glimpse of it.
With former NFLer Marcellus Wiley, speaking of injuries and always being a consistent theme of a guy's career, Sam Bradford is the poster boy for that. And he goes out there week one, puts forth a kind of a career game. I mean, he was outstanding week one, injured, out of the lineup last week. Mike Zimmer came out today, said he's not playing this weekend either. I mean, that's why I don't trust this guy. And some people give me grief when I point out injury problems or I say that I can't trust a guy because of it. But that's just a reality. If you can't play, especially at that position, how can anyone have faith in a guy like Sam Bradford?
You know, it's interesting, the NFL, the only thing that they really respect as much as production is potential. Think about it, every single year with the draft and the rookies that come in, we have proven veterans out there, but we'll give away a job to someone who has great potential. And when you see Sam Bradford out there, former number one overall pick, and he shows you that great potential is still in there, but he can't bring it fully out because of injury or circumstance, people still bet on it. And all you need is one team to bet on it. That, and you need one team to bet on it at a time. So maybe the entire league is against you except that one team. Then finally that one team is against you, but another team sits there and says, oh, if I got my hands on Sam Bradford. So I think that's where he is. And I'm still a believer in him as well because last year, and let's be real, that game makes you say that's better than half of the quarterbacks we've seen out there right now. And since quarterback play, especially this year, seems to be down, you got to hold on to a talent like Sam Bradford.
Well, so then, Marcellus, what's kind of like your policy or your way to figure out whether you're going to buy stock on a quarterback or not? Like, I think Jared Goff's a good example. When do you know or what are you looking for to determine if, like, he can actually be one of those guys you talked about?
Yeah, this is the million-dollar question because evaluators get this wrong constantly. Let's go back to the Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf conversation. how ridiculous that sounds now to even pose that as a question. It's so difficult. You have so many things that you have to respect and weigh when you're talking about the quarterback position. One, they have the toughest job in sports, certainly in football. They have to know not only what they have to do, but every single player by position on the offensive side, and then not only what the defense is going to do, but what are they trying to disguise in anticipation of you trying to figure out what they're going to do. It's so difficult to be quarterback, one. But then two, what are the things that really the criteria, the intangibles and tangibles you need? Is it arm strength or is it accuracy? I play with Drew Brees. Rookie year, Drew Brees comes to our camp and people are questioning his skills because he doesn't have the arm strength, but he has accuracy. Turns out Drew Brees may go down as the most accomplished by yardage and touchdowns quarterback we've ever seen. So it's all over the place. For me, in simple, I need you to have a good processor. That means between the ears, you need to be sharp. Also, I need you to have accuracy over arm strength. Just like I need a quarterback to be that guy in the moment, throw you open. Not just see if you're open and throw the ball there, throw you open. But then the last piece is be a guy that people can corral around. A guy who comes in that huddle and people say, you know what? Whatever he says, I'm going to follow. And if you can get those three things as kind of your blueprint, you can build on that. And it seems like right now, Jared Goff is feeling safer. Jared Goff is feeling more comfortable. And Jared Goff is starting to show just talked about.
Great stuff as always, Marcellus. Enjoy week three. We'll do it again next week.
Let's do it, brothers. Take care, brother.
There he is, Marcellus Wiley, former Bill, former member of the University of Columbia. Was it Columbia College?
You got a, I don't know. That's a good question.
Ivy League, so I think they go by university. It's a great school. That'd be really cool. Live in New York. I didn't even know they had a football team. Marcellus went to Columbia, grew up in L.A., went to Columbia, had a great career in the NFL. Joins us every Friday at 5:40. Steve Phillips coming up on the Jays' final home series with the Yankees in town and a bunch of other news and notes throughout MLB. And we'll get to our Friday five-pack, the five players in the NHL we're focused on going into a new season. Jonah Siegel from The Athletic in here, the O-Dog. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.